Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. I want to welcome you into a week five episode of NFL football. Crazy to believe we've already got a quarter of the season underway. I really didn't know when the season was going to get here. Now I'm worried it's going to be over here too fast. Just to do a quick recap, we started out last week with, in week four, with Green Bay hosting Chicago on Thursday night. Not a great game. Even if you're a Green Bay fan, you weren't really impressed with how they played. They got banged up a lot, and tough to say what really happened in that game. I mean, if they were playing a team with a pulse on either side of the ball, I'm not sure they win that one. But they ended up with the victory. They beat the Bears. Bears have benched Mike Glennon. He's going to be riding the pine for the foreseeable future. We'll get into that when we talk about our Week 5 preview. The other game was Seattle hosted Indianapolis on Sunday night. Not a great matchup. Even if Andrew Luck were healthy, I still don't know that this is the greatest matchup for a primetime game. But again, you got to give people the chance to show what they've got on primetime when everybody's watching. You know, every team gets a national audience, so it is what it is. But that game just did not live up to the hype, no matter how low or how high the hype was. It just, it looked awful. You know, you had Jacoby Brissett going against Russell Wilson. Not a great matchup, no matter what either team is doing. You have Chris Carson lost in the late fourth quarter to a brutal ankle or leg injury. He's out for the foreseeable future. And there was such just, it wasn't the greatest week of games. You had Carolina beating New England in New England. That was a disaster. You've got New England, who's now 2-2. Carolina looks okay. I can't really tell what's going on there. Cam Newton's flapping his gums all over the place, saying things he shouldn't say about what a woman does or doesn't know. He has no business talking like that. Cam, there's plenty you don't know. You might want to start there. And then, you know, the Rams and the Cowboys, that was another brutal game. You know, a lot of people thought that would be one the Cowboys would roll on. Didn't go that way. Good for the Rams. I mean, they're 3-1. No one expected this. I don't care how devoted a fan you are of the LA Rams, but you cannot tell me you expected 3-1. Maybe 2-2. Maybe 2-2. I don't know. I think anything short of 1-3 at this point, you're kind of wondering what happened. But good for them. Sean McVay definitely seems to have them on the right track. They face Seattle this week. Well, they host Seattle this week. We'll get into that later. Then you've also got the Titans, who took on the Texans, and the Texans just absolutely shredded Tennessee. I don't know if that was what's going to happen from now on, or if this was just Deshaun Watson's coming out party, or what we saw there. All I know is Tennessee looks awful after, you know, a week ago they looked great. You know, they were coming off a pretty convincing win over Seattle, and everyone thought, you know, this is Tennessee finally riding the ship, and said Marcus Mariota goes down in this one, and now it's unlikely he'll play in the next couple weeks. Who knows when he'll be back. It's just, it's ugly. Yeah, DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry just don't look great right now. That passing game looks shot. The defense is playing with a lot of heart, but, you know, when your offense can't score, it doesn't really matter what your defense is doing. You got to score points to win in this league. The Raiders at the Broncos, that one, I think a lot of people thought the Broncos could win. Not necessarily easily like they did, but definitely win because they've been playing so well this year. The Raiders, though, I mean, the hits just keep on coming. I mean, they just got Derek Carr back in week one after losing him at the end of the season last year and what was supposed to be potentially a Super Bowl team. Now he's out for the foreseeable future. There's rumors and whispers that he'll play this week, but I don't buy into that. I mean, when you've got a hurt back, you should probably wait and make sure that's healthy. Don't risk further injury. I don't care what's going on. But it just ended up being a lopsided game. I don't like the Raiders' chances with or without Derek Carr right now. That offense looked so good in weeks 1 and 2. Looked mediocre against Washington week 3, even more mediocre last week against the Broncos. And, you know, yeah, they get Baltimore this week, but I just don't know that they can score on anybody right now, not the way they're playing. They look like whatever they did in the first 2 weeks, they completely forgot what they were doing. And we'll see if Amari Cooper ever shows up on a stat sheet ever again. And then we finished up Monday night with the Redskins at the Chiefs, and that was actually a pretty good game. Kirk Cousins performed well against Oakland the week before. He played really well in this game. Should have had a game-winning touchdown, but it was dropped by his receiver. That happens. The Chiefs then, and you still have a tie ball game, so now what you have to do is hold the Chiefs out of field goal range. They couldn't do it. Chiefs came down. They win the game. There you have it. Then Washington goes in their bye week. They're off this week. The Chiefs get Houston on Sunday night. I don't know what to make of Washington. You know, they really struggled in week one hosting Philadelphia. Week two, they barely beat L.A., who at the time we didn't really buy into. Now we're starting to believe a little bit more that maybe L.A. is a great team, or at least a good team. And then in week three, they just blew the doors off Oakland in Sunday night on a primetime matchup, and it made Derek Carr look silly. And Kirk Cousins looked great. And the angry Kirk Cousins, you like me now, that guy looks like he's back, and he looked great on Monday night. Didn't have as many big plays as we're expecting to see from him, but Jordan Reed wasn't 100%. He kept losing running backs to injuries. Rob Kelly's out again. He's got a couple of young running backs that they don't know how to hold onto the ball. He's got Chris Thompson, who's always a really good pass-catching back, but we're not really sure what he can do in the actual run game. I mean, he had two really good weeks in weeks two and three, but came back down to earth in last week's game and still had a good game, but not earth-shattering. And the defense is just decimated by injury. I mean, those trainers spent more time on the field than maybe some of the secondary did, and that's not much of an exaggeration. I mean, that game was stopped every 10 seconds for another injury to those guys, and DJ Swearinger may be all they have. I mean, he might have to play all 11 positions, and they might have to sneak a 12th guy on the field once in a while just to see if they can get away with it, because I don't think 11's going to cut it with the amount of guys they have healthy right now. Josh Norman's out with a rib injury. Could be a couple weeks, could be a few weeks. Who knows? Those things are tough to sell. But they have a bye week this week. We'll see if they can get right. But that's really week five in a nutshell. Week four in a nutshell. I mean, there wasn't a ton of good matchups. You had a lot of teams going against each other that there wasn't a whole lot of interest in. I mean, the Miami and New Orleans game in London. I said Jacksonville, but just Jacksonville seems to play in London every week, and so I'm actually surprised they haven't moved there yet, but that game was just awful. I mean, the Dolphins look awful, but they dragged the Saints down with them, and even though the Saints won by 3 scores, they looked really putrid doing it, and I don't know what's going on with them. They get a bye week this week also. New England looked really bad against Carolina a week after looking pretty bad against Houston, and then this week they played Tampa Bay, and they looked pretty bad. We'll get into that a little later in our week five preview, but just not some very good football being played right now. I don't know what to tell you about who's good and who's not. I mean, you look at the 49ers, and they're terrible. That's obvious. The Jets, they're terrible. But here's some contrast for you. You look at the Patriots, and they're 2-2, and they've got their head hung because they don't want to be 2-2. They were expected to be 14-0, and then eventually 12-0, and then 16-0, and who knows, maybe 18-0. Now they're 2-2, and then you've got the Jets, who are also 2-2, and they're celebrating like they won the freaking Super Bowl. That's the difference between pretenders and contenders. The pretenders are just happy to be average or better. The contenders know that they've got bigger fish to fry and they've got to fix some big problems. That's definitely the case for New England. It's definitely the case for New Orleans. I don't think New Orleans is a contender, but they definitely have problems to fix. Minnesota's another one. They got big problems. With or without Sam Bradford, they lost Dalvin Cook. That's a problem. Another thing we'll get into later. Oakland losing Derek Carr, whether he's there or not, they haven't looked right in the last couple weeks. That's a problem. You look at Green Bay, who's down a whole bunch of players to injury. They were lucky to survive against Chicago. That's a problem. We'll get into their matchup later on against Dallas. That's going to be a good one, whether they're hurt or not. Just because those two teams just play so well against each other, we'll see what they can do. And then, Pittsburgh. Who knows what to make of Pittsburgh right now? They've got Big Ben, who's one of the all-time best, but he's certainly not playing like it. You have Le'Veon Bell, who is a really great running back, but he's only had a couple good weeks. And granted, it's only 4 weeks in, but he was supposed to come running out of the gate, and he stumbled a couple times, and now he's finally seemed to get his way going. But we'll see if he can carry that on this week. Then you have Jacksonville, you have Cleveland, you have Cincinnati, who's playing Buffalo. I don't know what to make of Cincinnati. 2 weeks ago, I said this team shot. Promoting Bill Lazor is one of the worst things you could do. Turns out I'm wrong, at least so far. He's called a couple really good games, and they seem to be on the right track. They had a get-right game against Green Bay's anemic defense. Then they had another get-right game last week against the Browns, who don't even really have a defense. And this week they play Buffalo, so we'll see what they can do. I don't trust them yet. But if you're looking for a streamer quarterback, maybe Dalton's a good safe bet, because Buffalo does have a really good defense. But if Lazor is good at calling plays the way he's supposed to be, then maybe that's not a problem. Maybe he'll figure out ways to get Dalton a couple touchdowns. He's got 6 touchdowns in 2 weeks so far after scoring 0 in the first 2 weeks. So through 4 weeks, he's averaging more than a touchdown a game, even though he didn't score any in the first 2 weeks. So do whatever you want with that. And so we roll into week 5, and we really don't know what to expect. We really don't know who's who yet. We know Atlanta could be good, but Julio Jones is out. Mohamed Sanu might be out. You know, Steve Sarkisian, is he as good of a play caller as Kyle Shanahan? Probably not, but so far the returns are up in the air. We don't know what we're looking at yet. And Tampa Bay looks okay. Carolina looks okay. New Orleans look average. So that division's up for anyone. There's a lot of that going around. You know, the Chargers look awful. I feel bad for Phillip Rivers. Seems like every year he's carrying that team on his shoulders. The defense is shot. The offense, we're not really sure what to expect from. Melvin Gordon's perpetually banged up. It's awful. And then the Giants, what do you say? Ben McAdoo, you know, kudos to you for getting a good haircut, but the offense sure is lacking here, pal, and that's supposed to be your cup of tea. So maybe it's time to bring back the mop top, because while you didn't look like a grown man, you at least were able to call a good game, and so far not so good. I mean, Eli Manning, you're supposed to be good at this, and I don't see it. The offensive line stinks. The running game stinks. The passing game is missing some connections, and, you know, as good as Odell Beckham Jr. is, you have some other options there, and I don't know what's going on, but this team is not capable of winning a game week to week, and I don't know what's going on. So that the NFC East is up for grabs. You got the Cowboys and the Eagles, who seem to want it the most, the Redskins, who are figuring out who they are, and the Giants, who are trying to figure out if they want to even play this year after they were supposed to be a dark horse Super Bowl contender. How long that lasted. And all over the rest of the map, you've got just mediocre teams right now, so we'll see what happens in week 5, midseason, week 8, week 9. That's when you really know who you're looking at and who's doing what and why and how. Until we get through these bye weeks, though, good luck, because some of the matchups are going to be just awful. You're going to wonder why you're even bothering with it. Other ones will be really good, but you'll have to put up with so much bad football. You may be so desensitized to it, you may not know that it's actually good football. But we'll go ahead and enter into our break and take a couple of words from our sponsors. We got a couple of them this week that they're not actual sponsors. Well, they never are. They're just fun ads from, you know, yesteryear. One of them, though, is kind of a tie-in to a movie that's coming out soon. So see if you can catch that one. The other one, just kind of a fun fan favorite. And we'll talk week 5 when we come back. My buddy Gene, the intern, is really hoping to get into the conversation this week. We haven't activated his mic yet, but we're thinking about it. But, you know, it could be a couple weeks away. We kind of treat him the same way we do Le'Veon Bell coming back from no training camp. You know, you got to earn your time, you earn your stripes there, Gene. You can't just walk in here and talk on the best show in America. So we'll take a quick break, and after we come back, we'll talk some week 5 football. You're listening to Fireside Sports on OSN.
Bobby Riggs, the holder of the world's professional tennis championship, plays a dazzling game of tennis. He handles a razor as smoothly as he does a tennis racket. Bobby Riggs is a brush and lather shaver. He writes me that Colgate lather shaving cream helps give him that smoothness in shaving. Here's his letter.
Want to know why I'm sold on Colgate lather shaving cream, Bill? Because every shave with Colgate lather is sweet and smooth and clean as a whistle. That light, fine-textured shave cream makes wonderful whisker-wetting lather. It gets down in the stubble, softens the whiskers fast, makes shaving a breeze. Yes, sir, Colgate lather shaving cream sure covers the court from baseline to net with speed, smoothness, and real shaving comfort. In my opinion, Colgate lather is tops.
Thanks, Bobby Riggs.
Let's turn back the clock about 24 hours and drop in on Mr. and Mrs. Johnson. They're just returning from a football game.
Well, here we are, home at last, and boy, am I hungry.
Oh, so am I. Let's start thinking about some food. Big, juicy hamburgers, maybe.
Say, that's for me, with plenty of catsup.
Uh-huh. Del Monte catsup. It has such marvelous flavor.
And Mrs. Johnson really knows her catsup. Del Monte catsup. The zestiest, liveliest catsup that ever pleased a man. Now that football season is in full swing, you'll find Del Monte catsup a bigger help than ever when planning lunches before the game or supper afterwards.
It's a smart hostess who serves hearty food and lots of it, with plenty of Del Monte catsup handy to add bright, rich, spiced tomato flavor.
Yes, that marvelous tomato flavor you find in Del Monte catsup, the only catsup made with pineapple vinegar, that superlative vinegar that coaxes out all the best in tomato flavor. Remember, for real zip and zest, it's Del Monte catsup every time. Next time you go shopping, look for Del Monte catsup.
You'll like its quality and you'll like its thrifty price.
Welcome back into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. We're going to talk some NFL Week 5 action. There's a lot going on this week, and my intern, Gene, is actually flagging me down. This is new for us. We have a caller on the line. Garrett Thornton, OSN senior writer, he is on the line of Breaking Vegas. Garrett, how are you doing tonight? What brings you to our show?
I'm good, Casey. I just had to talk about a couple of these games with you this week. There's some exciting games this week.
Yeah, there are. I'm really excited to have you on. I didn't think we were going to make this work, but so I know you got a lot going on in your schedule this week, but really excited to talk some NFL football with you. And I know you and I have a big matchup coming up this Sunday.
We do. We've been waiting for this game ever since the schedule came out. We've been talking about this game for months.
Yeah, and it's finally coming right around the corner, October 4th, 4:25 Eastern. I believe it's on Fox. I don't know how this is not the Sunday night game, but it's a big one. But we'll get to that in a minute. That's the main event. Let's talk Rams hosting the Seahawks first. This is a big game for both of those teams as well. They may not be the two teams everyone in the country wants to watch, but certainly here in the Northwest, this matchup has a lot of sway because the Rams are 3-1. The Seahawks are 2-2. We don't really know who's who at this point. We know the Rams look good, but it hasn't been much of a test for us to look at. And the Seahawks look pretty bad, but again, it's only been four games. Who do you like in this game, and what are you hoping to see when you watch the game on Sunday?
I'm scoring. Both teams can score. The Seattle offense has had rough spots, but I think that they'll figure it out eventually. But I'm really intrigued by this young Rams team. This team is very talented. I look at like a positional matchup head-to-head, the Rams versus the Seahawks. Running back, advantage Rams. Quarterback, advantage Seahawks, obviously with Russell Wilson. But everything else on that offense, wide receivers, definitely advantage Rams. Offensive line, advantage Rams. This is a young and very good team, and I think that they have a legitimate shot at winning the NFC West. Now, if you would have said that 4 weeks ago, you would have been called out, there's no way, Jared Goff's a bust, blah, 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 blah. But Sean McVay has come in and made Jared Goff a legitimate NFL quarterback, and I think the Seahawks are in danger of losing this division rivalry on the road and dropping to 2-3, and that would not be a good look for the Seahawks.
No, it definitely wouldn't, and, you know, they lost Chris Carson in a freak late-game injury last week that they probably, you know, I hate to point the finger, but they probably shouldn't have even had him in the game. It was pretty late. They already had it under wraps, and he fractures his leg, and now he's out for the foreseeable future. They're talking about maybe bringing him back later on in the season, but we know leg injuries and running backs don't always go so well. And then you've got Thomas Rawls, who's perpetually injured. I don't know if we're ever going to see him fully healthy ever again. And Eddie Lacy, who even when he's fully healthy, we really don't know what to expect because, as you mentioned, that offensive line is not great. You got a pretty good peek at the Rams offense and defense last week in Dallas, which I really thought you guys were going to pull that one out, but what happened happened. Do you think Seahawks fans should be scared of the Rams coming to this game? Do you think they've got a legitimate shot to upend their division rival?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Seahawks fans should be worried. This is a road game. Road games in the NFL are never easy. But this Rams team is legit. The thing with young teams that you fight is tough thing is young teams quit. And so you look at like the Browns, you look at the Jets, you look at some of these other young teams in the league, and you see guys quitting when they hit adversity. The Rams last week were down by, I think, 13, maybe 17 at one point. And they came back in the second half. They battled, they battled, they battled. They chipped away, and they beat the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys are also a young team, but the Cowboys are the reigning NFC East champions that went to the playoffs and made some noise last year. And so they did that in Dallas. Now the Rams come home with the momentum. The Rams are a scary team. And they are ready to exploit the weaknesses of that Seattle team. That defensive line for the Rams is going to stop any semblance of a run game that the Seahawks can put together. And if they have to rely on the passing game, that's trouble for the Seahawks because Doug Baldwin's still not 100%. Jimmy Graham looks like he might be washed. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, he looks shot.
I think the Seahawks are in trouble this week against the Rams. It's not a good matchup for the Hawks.
No, it's definitely not. And, you know, they came into the season talking about the 2013 glory days and that's what the defense is back to being. And I'm not sure I buy that. I mean, Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, it's hard. And Bobby Wagner, I mean, the list goes on. It's hard to...
Sherman is very good. Those safeties are very good. But I just...
They don't look cohesive right now.
Not what is winning games. There's so many games played in the 30s that just having a good defense isn't going to get you to where you're looking to go. This offense is dreadful at times. Seahawks fans have their head in the clouds right now because they played last night, prime time, Sunday night football, and they put up a bunch of points. But you also have to remember who they played. It was the Colts.
Yeah.
That is possibly the worst collection entire NFL on the field. That team is a 1 or 2 win team, and it's not pretty. And so, yeah, the Seahawks went in, they scored a bunch of points, but they're not going to do that against the Rams. The Rams are a whole different beast. The Rams have Aaron Donald coming right at Russell Wilson every single play. Like, this is a whole different team. And the Rams have had the Seahawks number in the last few years. Now, that was under Jeff Fisher, but you can make the case this soon into Sean McVay's head coaching career that he could be a better coach than Jeff Fisher, especially offensively. So it's going to be a tough matchup for the Seahawks. I think that this is going to be a Rams-type game, and I think that it's going to be because of that youth and because of the players that front office has put together. Sammy Watkins on the outside, Cooper Kupp in the slot. It's a team that is very well put together, very well coached, and they've got momentum going into this one on Sunday.
Well, and even if you look at Seattle's matchups and you say, okay, well, they beat San Francisco and they beat Indianapolis, both of those were at home. On the road, they faced Green Bay and Tennessee so far, and they did not fare well in either of those contests. They, you know, the Green Bay game had what should have been a blowout, and it still was a lopsided score. And then Tennessee was a blowout, very lopsided. I think you're right. I think this game looks like it could be that way, where they just don't have the firepower on offense. I don't think they have the strength on defense they once did, and special teams is a mess. I think this coaching staff is maybe bitten off more than they can chew, trying to put together so many patchwork pieces and make an offense and make a defense and make a special teams. It isn't working, and the Rams have everything clicking. Their secondary is not anything to write home about, but as you mentioned, their front seven is very formidable. Their offense is clicking on all cylinders. I think this is one the Rams can win by 1 or 2 scores at least.
Well, I think the graphic last week during the Cowboys-Rams game was that the Cowboys had 4 first-round draft picks on the offensive line, and the Rams had 6 first-round drafts in the front seven. First-round draft picks versus first-round draft picks. And it was a battle all day long in the trenches. Now, that Dallas offensive line, when you compare it next to Seattle's offensive line, that's not even a comparison. So if the front seven of the Rams play as tough as they did last week against Dallas, Russell Wilson better watch out, because he's going to be in a lot of trouble. And that's the danger with the Seahawks right now, is their season, they can make the playoffs, they can win the weak NFC West if they can keep Russell Wilson upright. But my faith in that happening over 16 games is very, very low. I think that the Rams roll in this game, and I think that the Seahawks might be exposed a little bit.
Yeah, I'm predicting the Rams to win this one. My guess is going to be something resembling 31-10. What's your prediction?
I think that the Seahawks are a veteran team enough to keep it a little closer than that, but I think 27-21, something like that. I think the Rams will take control early, and I think they'll dictate the tempo of the game.
Agreed. So let's move on to the game you and I have been talking about since the schedule was released in August. We have Green Bay traveling to Dallas, a rematch of the NFC divisional round, a rematch of, I think, week 6 or 7 last year, something like that. Dallas won the first round. Dak Prescott looked really impressive. 3 touchdowns, only 1 pick. Looked impressive. Ezekiel Elliott had a bunch of yards. Second round, Ezekiel Elliott had a bunch of yards. Dak Prescott looked great. 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. But Aaron Rodgers won that one. This one's also played in Dallas. Who do you give the advantage to, and what are you hoping to see?
Well, right now I would give the advantage to Dallas, and I say that with full mention that I am a Cowboy homer. Like, right. I always have been, always been a fan. But I give the advantage to Dallas, reason that Green Bay is just so beat up right now.
Right.
I feel bad for that team. They can't keep their numbers, tackles are down, defense that they can't they what are they on? Like, they're, I think they're starting like their 6th and 7th offensive tackles of the season, just because of so many guys are on the IR, so many guys are out. So I would give the advantage to Dallas for that simple reason. Now, with that said, Aaron Rodgers has had 10 days to prepare for this game. The Cowboys secondary, it has played well, but it is probably the weakness of that Cowboy team. And so Aaron Rodgers with 10 days off, getting ready for this game, that could be a scary, scary thing for the Cowboys secondary. So I think this is going to be a good one. I think this is one of the better games of the year. And I think that the Cowboys come out in the end. I've been going back and forth all day on score. I think it's going to be 35-32.
Yeah, I don't like Green Bay's chances a whole lot in this one. I like that it's in Dallas, because I feel like Rodgers will go under the chip on his shoulder. He loves playing at home, but he also likes to go on the road and steal one from a home crowd. But as you mentioned, they're down their 2 starting tackles who don't look like they're going to play this week. Their backup left tackle, Kyle Murphy, who was only a fill-in to weeks 2 and 3, is on injured reserve. They've got a guard playing left tackle that worked okay last week against the Bears, but come on, that's the Bears. It's not exactly a great team that's going to give you a huge amount of fight. And then you've also got Ty Montgomery, who's not expected to play this week. He was trying to practice and get in this Sunday, but he's been listed as doubtful. Probably not going to see him. You've got Davante Adams, who has not been cleared to play. He's still recovering from that really graphic injury he suffered from a dirty hit by the Bears linebacker, Danny Trevathan, last week. So you might be down your 2 starting tackles, your starting running back. I don't believe their backup running back is ready to play either, so you could be on your 3rd-string running back. And
Who's a rookie?
Yeah, he's a rookie, and he's inexperienced at best. And he was also didn't show very well against the Bears. I'm not sure that they have much of a defense. I mean, they've got a better than advertised defense, but not great. And then you could be down Davante Adams, so you could be potentially starting 2 fill-in starters at your tackles, shuffling around your offensive line. You're starting a 3rd-string running back. And you could potentially be starting Jordy Nelson across from Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb. Not exactly ideal. Even if this team is at full strength, I still think it's advantage Dallas because it's in Dallas. And the defense hasn't shown me that they can actually beat a good offense. So I'm not sure they can slow Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott down if they need to.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, if both teams are healthy, I'm really worried as a Cowboy fan, just because I think Aaron Rodgers on 10 days rest is scary. You can't give any of these great quarterbacks that kind of rest. You can't give Tom Brady. He just played Thursday night. he's got 10 days rest. Watch out for Tom Brady in 10 days. Now, I think the injuries are the deciding factor in this game. And I think that there's a couple injuries on the Cowboy side of things that you need to look for. Left tackle Tyron Smith is questionable. All accounts are that he's going to play. Starting middle linebacker Sean Lee is questionable. That's more questionable than the Smith injury. He didn't play last week. And without Sean Lee in that defensive backfield, they were kind of lost at times against the Rams.
Right.
And I think that showed with some of those crossing routes by Cooper Kupp and that long route down the middle by Todd Gurley that he scored the touchdown on. And so I think with Sean Lee in the game with the leadership that he brings to that defense, I think it's a whole different defense. And when you're going against somebody like Aaron Rodgers, you need a leader on that defense. And so I think that Sean Lee injury is definitely one to keep an eye on. I do think the Cowboys come out, they win by 3 or 4 points, but I think it's a close one. And I definitely think it have to be there to watch. That can be nothing more important to do at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Does it bother you it's not the night game?
I think that I do not cares for the NBA, NFL, MLB, any of those leagues, because there are so many logistics that go into it, and you can never make everybody happy. And there's so many contracts that go into, they have to have X number of teams play on Thursday night, and all these games in London now, and all, like, there's so many moving pieces. Both of these teams, the Cowboys and the Packers, are on Sunday night, Monday night football quite regularly. We know that as fans. We have that to look forward to.
Right.
Yes, this would be a nice matchup to be in prime time. But also, I'm not against a quality game in the afternoon on a Sunday. Like, so many times you flip on the TV in the afternoon and it's the Raiders and the Chargers in a blowout, or it's the Jets playing the Broncos, and it's just teams that you don't care about. I'm looking for a marquee matchup in the afternoon. I'm excited for that. And so I think, yes, Sunday night football, this game, it would have been incredible. It would have been one of the most advertised games of the year. But I don't think that you can please everybody. We're not to the time of the season where you can flex games in and out of the primetime games. And so I think it's fine. I'm looking forward to it on Fox.
Yeah, it'll be a great game. Win, lose, or draw, this will be a great one. I'm really hoping to see a Green Bay victory, but I'm not expecting one at all. I'm expecting Dallas to run away with this one, figuratively and literally. I think they'll win 31-24. I think it'll be a one-score game, but I think Dallas will definitely take the home court advantage and also the running game advantage, the offensive line advantage, the defense advantage, all the advantages, and the health advantage. I think it's just a little too much for a Green Bay to overcome, no matter how good Aaron Rodgers plays.
Well, and one more factor for the Cowboys is right now they're 2-2. They're fine. The Giants look terrible. The Redskins look very beatable. The Eagles look good, but they have weaknesses. They're still young. But the Cowboys are going into a bye week six. I don't heading into that bye, because that's when there's questions asked. It's America's team, and so you know that's when the talk starts about, oh, is Jason Garrett on the hot seat? Well, so this, for both of these teams, it's an important game. For the Cowboys, it's as close to a must-win game as you can have in Week 5, just because the noise will be unbearable during their Week 6 bye if they go in with a losing record.
Absolutely. And then we've also got the pending ruling on the appeal for Ezekiel Elliott, where we'll find out if he's going to play the rest of the year or if he has to sit out 6 games. What does your gut tell you is going to happen there?
I think he's going to play the 6 games. I think you saw the template with the Tom Brady Deflategate situation. I think he's going to play these 16. I think that it's going to be an ugly battle all summer. And then I would not be shocked if it's somehow appealed, somehow reduced to 4 games, or if he just serves the 6-game suspension next year. But I don't think you're going to see him miss time this year. I think the NFL has enough pie on its face at this point with the national anthem kneeling and all the protesting and all the stuff going on. I don't think that they want one of their biggest stars in the game to be out for 6 games during the season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think at this point it would definitely benefit them to have all their primetime stars out there so that when the playoffs come, we all know who's legit and who's not, just being controlled by the NFL.
Yep.
All right, well, Garrett, we really appreciate you coming on. I can't tell you enough how great this is to have you on this late in the game. And, you know, I was thinking I was going to fly solo. I had Gene making fun of me that I couldn't even book a co-host. And you came in to save the day, and I really appreciate you making the time. It's a huge help. So thank you for coming on. No, I really appreciate it.
I think you're out of town next week, so I'm flying solo next week.
Yeah, and, you know, Gene, he's got quite the sense of humor with stuff like that. So I hope he takes care of you, or at least better care of you than he takes care of me.
Cool. Well, it'll be fire.
Sorry.
As well as you do, Casey.
You cut out there at the end. What was that?
I said, next week it's Fireside Sports with Garrett Thornton, and I'll do my best to host it as well as you do.
Hey, you do an outstanding job. The couple times you filled in, the ratings have gone up. So I think that you do a fantastic job. I don't think you got anything to worry about there.
Well, thanks, Casey. And next week when I'm hosting, well, I'm definitely going to talk some Blazers because the season starts here in about 10 days. So
right around
I'm
the corner.
Forward to that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on again. You have a great night and have a great weekend. We'll talk sports
soon.
Have
a good weekend. Talk to you soon.
All right. And there you have it. That's Garrett Thornton of OSN, senior writer. He's also on Breaking Vegas with Garrett Thornton. He's also on Comcast Sportsnet, KGW. Make sure you check out his work. Find him on Twitter at Portland Garrett. You can also check out this show at Fireside OSN. So this is the Week 5 matchups that we wanted to highlight. The other one that we already saw was Tampa Bay losing in, you know, just kind of head-scratching fashion in New England. The New England gave him every chance they could to win that game, and the Patriots just ended up with the win anyway. No thanks to Nick Folk. Or actually, many thanks to Nick Folk, I guess, depending on how you look at it. So that game's already in the books. Now we've got a couple more we want to highlight. We've already talked about Green Bay and Dallas. We've already talked about Seattle and LA. The other two on the docket are Kansas City and Houston, and then Chicago and Minnesota. Those are the other two primetime games we want to look at. The rest of the matchups, they're not bad, but there's not much to really write home about. I mean, obviously, those of you who are faithful to a certain team are going to think otherwise there, but honestly, you look at the slate this weekend, and there's just not a lot of great matchups. There's some teams on bye weeks, and that's kind of messing it up. But the next two are going to be Kansas City hosting Houston hosting Kansas City. And while Kansas City has definitely looked good, they're 4-0. I wouldn't exactly qualify them as a world beater. They've had their share of struggles. I'm not sure that they're as good as people are writing them up to be or hyping them up to be. And then there's Houston, who looked like a train wreck in the first couple weeks, and now the last couple weeks, Deshaun Watson has just taken over this NFL, taken them by storm. I don't know that there's a better offense in the league right now. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would like to disagree with that, but you know, you look at the numbers, and I'm sorry, this team is just firing on all cylinders. They look red hot, and Watson and Hopkins and Miller, I mean, they all look like they're doing really good. They got Will Fuller back. They have all these different options in the receiving game that no one thought they had a shot. They thought that once they suffered a couple of early season losses, that this team was in the toilet, and here they are alive and well. And I think they're probably going to have a pretty good shot to upend Kansas City on Sunday night. The flip side of that, Andy Reid's team is playing as good as they ever have. You've got Alex Smith, who's playing really well. Kareem Hunt, who's come out of left field to be the best running back in the league. Many people thought he would be really good. I don't think anybody thought he'd be the best in the league through 4 weeks, but there he is. I believe he still has the most yards from scrimmage of any player in the NFL, which is just crazy. I mean, this is a guy that was supposed to be not even starting in week one, and then Spencer Ware goes down with a season-ending injury, and here he is. And you've got Travis Kelce, who's been up and down, and you know, you don't have Jeremy Maclin anymore, but you still got Chris Conley, and you still have some other receiving options that it's not like there's nobody there to throw the ball to. But this isn't exactly a team that you look at and go, well, obviously they're going to be good. You look at it and go, well, I'm not sure how they're going to win games. You know, how are they going to score? But then you watch them, and they're just so methodical. They just drive at you and drive at you and pound the ball and pound the ball. And then they throw over the top and throw over the top. And by the time you figure out what's going on, you're down 14 points. And that's exactly what's happened to their opponents, that they just pull the rug right out from underneath you. And I can see that happening against Houston, but I don't expect it to. Houston's got such a disciplined defense. and an offense that can spread it out or they can run it tight. I mean, they've got all the different options you need. They've got Donta Foreman, their new rookie running back, who's pretty good. He can spell Lamar Miller. They can throw it up top to DeAndre Hopkins or Will Fuller. They've got some good tight end options. And then on defense, you know, you've got J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. It's pretty tough to hold those guys off. So I think Alex Smith will be doing a lot of running in circles. It's going to be an interesting game. I'm going to call for Houston to win this one. I know that's not going to be the popular pick, but I think they can pull this off. You know, they went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady in New England. And last week they looked really good against Tennessee, blew them out of the water. Granted, Marcus Mariota went out early with a hamstring injury, but they still just blew that team out of the water. And that's a proud defense and a proud running game. They shut it down. And now they're going to go in and host Kansas City. And I think they're going to win. I think they can win this one 31-24. I think that's going to be a pretty common score this weekend. Not necessarily those exact digits, but, you know, 3 or 4 touchdowns for one team, 3 or 4 touchdowns for one team. The field goal is what's going to maybe be the difference. So the other game is Minnesota hosting Chicago. This game isn't great on paper, and I don't expect it to be on the TV either. But you potentially get Sam Bradford back from Minnesota, and you now are starting Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago. The Mike Glennon era is officially over, or at least for now. If Trubisky can stay healthy, the job is his. If he can perform, the job is his. So that's really all it's going to take, is he's got to be upright and capable of playing, and that's really all you need, because his job is basically going to be hand off to Jordan Howard, hand off to Tariq Cohen, rinse and repeat. That's the job now, because you're just going to game manage. You're going to prove that you have an arm, but they're not going to ask you to do too much early on, or at least I hope they don't. On the flip side of that, if Sam Bradford's healthy, this offense is wide open. Even though they lost Dalvin Cook to a season-ending ACL tear last week, which was devastating for anyone, including yours truly, that had him on their fantasy team. But if you didn't, you're not exactly sad that someone else has Latavius Murray. It's not like he's going to be blowing anybody up anytime soon. The guy is just, he's a muddler. And he's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. He's the Willie Hayes special, you know. It is what it is, and the guy's just not a true replacement. Jerick McKinnon got hurt in that game. We're not sure if he's going to be playing this week. They just signed running back from Denver, and I'm blanking on the name. It'll come to you in a minute, but Stephen Ridley, that's the guy. So they have some running backs, but nobody that's a Dalvin Cook. I mean, that guy was a true every-down feature back, and they just do not have anybody that can step in and replace him, and that's sad. Because he looked like he was on pace for a phenomenal year. Maybe not Kareem Hunt pace, but a normal pace. But even if Bradford can't play, Case Keenum showed the last couple weeks that he can lead this offense. It's not like he needs the running game to do that. In fact, a lot of times the defenses were sacking the box trying to make Cook prove it. So now that you've got no Cook, maybe it doesn't matter. You know, maybe they'll let you spread him out. I don't know. I guess we'll find out this Monday night. But this is another game where it's not that exciting. We're not really sure why it's on primetime. Even going into the season, I know that they have to put certain teams on primetime schedules and that everybody's supposed to get airtime in a primetime zone, but come on, it's the Bears. We knew they weren't going to be good. And the Vikings, we had a pretty good idea were going to be good, but they still haven't looked great. So I think they're going to win this one. I think it'll be pretty low scoring. I'm expecting it to be something like 24-17. I think it's going to be a battle of field goals and field position. I don't think it's going to be a lot of touchdowns, a lot of running. I mean, it could look something resembling the Pittsburgh-Chicago game from a couple weeks ago that went into overtime, maybe. I don't expect it to go that far. I think that was more of a fluke, and this is going to be more of the true litmus test of what Chicago really looks like. Even though they're switching quarterbacks, they don't really have a lot of help. Most of you that watched the Thursday night game last week realized that it's not that Green Bay's defense is so darn great. It's that the Chicago receivers are just that awful. That no matter what Mike Glennon did in that game, his receivers were dropping passes or just not even looking for the ball. It was awful. So that's our Week 5 preview. I don't know how good the games are going to be this week. I'm really hoping for another offensive explosion. I can't speak for all of you, but I know in my fantasy team, I finally saw some signs of life from my players like Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, and Kirk Cousins, and Mike Thomas. And unfortunately, Cousins and Thomas are on buys this week, so I'm really hoping for some big numbers out of DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Parker And I already played Doug Martin in the Thursday game, which was probably foolish. But, you know, you're just throwing guys in your lineup that are healthy and playing this week at this point. When the bye weeks come around, you just fill your lineup. That's really all you can do. And if they're a starter who's expecting to get a lot of touches, it's pretty easy to throw them in there and just see what happens. And that's really all you can do when you have Dalvin Cook go down for the season and you've got Michael Thomas on a bye week and you got to plug all your receivers in and you've already got two running backs in. Really, at that point, your best option is throw Martin in the flex and see what happens. 14 points in a PPR league. Not great, but pretty tough to beat too. I mean, that's a pretty honest score. So we appreciate you guys checking us out, and make sure you like us on Facebook, like us on the OSN page, check us out on Twitter. Again, we're at Fireside OSN. Let us know how the show's doing. Let us know what we can improve upon. Let us know what predictions you want to see for next week. We're always looking for new material, and you know, we look at the games that we want to see, and maybe there's some other games you want us to look at, but obviously we're not going to preview every single game all week, but we could do something where we do a pick'em for every game. So again, comment or add us with your comments there and let us know how you want to improve stuff around here. Make sure to check us out on Stitcher, on Google Play, on iTunes. We're on there. You can find us, Fireside Sports. Thank you again for checking us out. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Have a great weekend, and most importantly, best of luck to you and your fantasy team, your pick'em, just your NFL team, whoever you are. Thanks for checking us out. Have a good weekend.